Joining God in his kingdom advance seen work as part of our discipleship journey. And we've heard about some of the work that God is doing through the presentations that you've heard today. But how can we actually support the missionaries and ministries that are talked about here? Well, one way is, of course, through prayer, which we've talked about a lot this fall. And in our prayer times, in our seeking after the Lord and recognizing our desperate need for him, we must not only pray for ourselves, we must pray for others who are in need. And so all the things that we learned about this fall in prayer, we also need to apply to others in need, like missionaries and ministries that we support. We can also support through encouragement. And we may not be called to go ourselves, and we may not have much money, but we can encourage ministries and missionaries through letters, which you heard about in writing to your compassion child, or through packages, or by helping with things like the Operation Christmas Child shoebox packing, or the heart packing of clothes, or the other missions opportunities we have within our church community. And we could also support financially. But as soon as we mention finances, walls can go up in our hearts. And there can be several reasons for this. One might be tied to the statement that some of you might have heard. All churches ever talk about is money. All they want is your money. And on the one hand, if a person has that viewpoint, it's a little bit understandable if they have had an experience with the church that only talks about money all the time. In some churches, for example, they used to take offerings and multiple offerings during a worship service until they reached a goal. And the pastor would badger the congregation into giving more and more until he would finally release them when they reached their goal. Some Christians have lived luxurious lives on the offerings that their ministry has generated. Some Christian organizations have handled money poorly or misdirected its use. And then there are the massive cathedrals and church lands and assets. And people wonder, why does a church need money when it has all of these? And the church has a checkered history when it comes to corruption and some of its appeals for finance, which were more disguised as an appeal for spiritual blessing. Give this money and you will be blessed. And we see this even today, when Christian broadcasters or people online make promises that if you give this amount of money and you'll receive this bottle of anointing oil or this special handkerchief in the mail, and you'll be healed or you'll be blessed. So if a person has only had that kind of an experience with a church, it's no wonder they conclude all they ever talk about is money. But on the other hand, this appears to be an overstatement, for churches do give much to their communities and to the people that they serve. There is the involvement in food banks. There is the offer of ministry like weddings and funerals and baby dedications and baptisms. There is the coming alongside during times of tragedy, the visiting in the hospital when people are sick. And there is the community for the lonely. So some criticism of churches and their talk about money is justified. And churches need to take heart these concerns and ensure that they treat the gifts of people as a sacred trust. Yet if we stop to think about it, most organizations in the world require some money to function. Think about the sports organizations that you're a part of or you've signed up your kids for. What do at the start of the season? Pay the registration fees. Think about political parties and candidates who run on the basis of their supporters' donations. But there's something supposed to be unique about a church and its motivation for both receiving funds and giving. And I briefly, very briefly, will share this with you today. First, what is the motivation for a church to receive funds? Well, it cannot be to make a profit. We are a non-profit organization. And unlike businesses who work to provide services and make a profit, a church's primary aim is not to make a profit. Nor can our primary motivation to receive be our continued existence. We want you to give so that we can continue to exist. No, because though God prepares the universal church, the people of God throughout history, to meet Jesus upon his return, local churches come and go. You might have been a part of a church that once existed but no longer exists. And it no longer exists, maybe not because it didn't adapt to the times, but it was there and put in place for a certain time and for a certain people. But then its time was done. And we too must look at our existence under the sovereignty of God and recognize God has given us this body, this community for this time, this place, these people. But there might come a time in the future where this church ceases to exist, because really the motivation for receiving funds for every church needs to be the advance of the kingdom of God. If we exist only to keep existing, our church's decisions and will be based on surviving. If we exist to make a profit, our church's decisions will be based on which ministries bring in profit and which don't. But if we exist for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God, that puts things into a totally different realm. And we can make decisions based on what we sense God leading us towards. So the motivation for receiving funds for the church is to advance the kingdom of God. What motivates us to give? Again, our reasons must be unique because of the one whom we serve. One reason we give is it's an act of worship, recognizing the Lord's ownership over everything. Psalm 24:1 states, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all those who live in it." So God owns everything, including our homes, including our cars, including our bank accounts, though our names are on it. And God entrusts our homes, our bank accounts, our cars to us for the short period of time that we have life on earth. And he asks us and calls us to use what he's entrusted to us for his glory and with his kingdom in mind. And God's purposes include providing for our families, looking after our children like we've heard about today, but also to support the ministries and missionaries that he's called us to support. A second motivation concerns love for God. Giving demonstrates that our first love is for God and not for money. Randy Alcorn makes the point that our hearts go towards where we spend our money. So if we spend a lot of our money on possessions and accumulation, our heart love is going to go there. If we put much of our money into some prized possession, our heart love will go there. But if we give towards God and his purposes, our heart love towards God will be strengthened. And Jesus talks about this love question in Matthew 6:24, where he says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. A third motivation for giving relates to our ultimate provider. Giving is an act of faith that reminds us of our ultimate dependence on God for all that we receive. We've been trained to believe that we can live if we have money, and without money, we will die. But what does Jesus say? Matthew 6:25 and 26. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" And then Jesus goes on to talk about birds and how they don't make any money, but he provides for them. Flowers, they don't make any money, yet he adorns them with beauty. So if God can look after birds and flowers, he will look after us. Yet if we hold tightly to ourselves everything we make, how will we ever know that God really can provide for us? Won't we be tempted to conclude, well, God says he provides in word, but we're really the ones who provide indeed? When we give money away, and we still live by God's provision, we cultivate in our hearts a realization we ultimately depend on God for life and not on money. And a last motivation for giving is that it is an obedient response to the command of God. And throughout biblical history, the regular giving of God's people for the purposes of supporting the worship and ministry that God wanted to happen throughout the country was expected. God commanded his people to give 10% or a tithe of whatever they made in crops, in animals, in money, and in goods. But Israel at times forgot this or neglected this. And we find out about one such situation in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, starting in verse 6 of chapter 3. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But the people respond, how shall we return? And God responds, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But the people say, well, how have we robbed you? And God responds, in your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations shall call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. So the Israelites were withholding the full tithe. And God interpreted that as an act of robbery directed towards him. And he calls them to bring in the full tithe and trust him. And then he would open heaven's gates of blessing. And we as a church continue to practice the 10% guideline. We recognize tithing is not specifically commanded in the New Testament. Giving is. But giving 10% is an answer that we respond with when people ask, how much are the people of the church called to give to support the church? And we say, start with 10%. This is a way in which God has instructed his people throughout time, and we believe it's a way that we can start if we are not currently giving. And many of you have been very faithful in this. As I look back on my time here at Sturgeon Valley, when we came as a family in January of 2006, in just 2 months, in March, we decided as a church collectively to go ahead and build. $1.1 million had already been saved towards that project, and we decided to go ahead and build and received tenders, bids for the building. 2006 was an extremely expensive year to build. We expected the building to cost $2.2 million, and the bids came in, the lowest one, at $3.2 million. An additional $1 million would be put onto the tab of this building. And over the last 10 years, we have seen, I have watched God move through his people to almost completely pay off the other $2.1 million over these past 10 years. And we are very thankful and blessed to have this happen. But to complete this project, we have at times had to cut back in other areas, one of them being missions. And in the pamphlet that was handed out today, I think the second paragraph says, we support 15% of missions with 15% of our operating budget. Well, sometimes we had to go below 15%. Sometimes we were closer to 20. That was our hope. That was our goal. And we're now on the verge of paying off the mortgage, and we want to return to a more vigorous missions and outreach focus in our giving. And we'd like to get that number back up to 20% of our operating budget. So we want to invite you to prayerfully consider your support of what God is doing in and through SVBC. We would invite you to come to the congregational meeting this Wednesday, even if you're not a member, where you can hear more specifically what is happening and the direction we sense God is leading us. And we pray that you will discover more clearly the realities that we face and where we're at and where we sense God leading us. You may not be able to give much financially right now because we understand many of you are suffering in the current economic climate. If that's the reality for you, please support our missionaries and ministries through prayer and encouragement and help. But some of you are newer to our church. And if you sense God calling you to be part of us, will you prayerfully consider supporting the many ministries that happen through SVBC in a greater way than you currently do? Or if you've been attending SVBC and you only give occasionally, would you consider giving regularly? Because ministry happens throughout the entire year, and missionaries need to be paid throughout the entire year. And if you're here today and think, this message confirms that statement all churches ever talk about is money, Well, I did a little research, and the last time I did a series on giving was May of 2013. So we do collect an offering every Sunday, but we don't make a big deal out of it. We call each person to respond to what God is calling of us. And we'd simply like you to be aware of the different motivations we think we're supposed to have for receiving and giving funds because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to join in some of the wonderful work that God is doing among us. So we receive for the purposes of advancing the kingdom of God, and we give as an act of worship, love, faith, and obedience. To that end, let us pray. Lord God, talking about money can sometimes be a very personal challenge, a threatening topic in ways, because it is so personal. And yet, Lord, we need to recognize that the resources that you have entrusted to us and the way that we use them are a barometer of our spiritual lives. Lord, if you are calling us to make adjustments in our lives so that we can more faithfully react or give to what you're calling us to give, help us to have the courage to make those adjustments. For the many here who have been giving faithfully, will you continue to encourage them, and will you enable them, when they have opportunity to speak to one another about the blessings that they have seen because they have given and seen you at work? For the many who are struggling right now in this area because of job loss or job restriction or underemployment, may the words of your provision from Matthew 6 be a great comfort that you look after and will provide what is needed. And we as a body, Lord, seek to honor you with what you have entrusted to us. We have been given collectively much. To whom much is given, much is expected. So show us where you want us to give, who you want us to support, how you want us to respond. Thank you, Lord God, for all that we've heard about today. Really just a snapshot of many different things that are happening. And I pray, Lord, for our missionaries and these ministries, that they will be encouraged, that they will be strengthened to carry the light of salvation to the ends of the earth. We pray this in your name. Amen.